Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. My name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor here at Lighthouse. As I was getting up to come up here, I heard both of my knees crack as I stood. And you guys probably heard it around me. And I heard the phrase, you know you're old when. That's kind of played in my mind as I came up here. Hey, thanks for being here today. If you're watching online, thanks for joining us as well. Just to follow up on the baptism that's coming up in 2 weeks. We here at Lighthouse, we typically do baptisms just once a year. And so if God has done something significant in your life and you want to show the world what God has done, I would just encourage you to consider getting baptized. Scripture says to repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so if you haven't been baptized as an adult, or if it's been a long time since you've been baptized and God has done some significant changes in your life, I would encourage you to sign up for the class that's coming up here next Sunday. And by the way, the one on Sunday will have food. I don't know about the one on Wednesday, so come on Sunday. Okay, so has anyone heard of this singer? Anyone recognize her? What's her name? Taylor Swift, yeah. Have you guys heard of her? No, not really. Emma is so sad right now. Well, she's kind of popular, in case you didn't know that. With her latest album, Midnights, when it was released, 10 songs from her album made the top 10 of Billboard's top 100 songs, first time ever. Okay, that was just last year. Tickets to her concert are extremely popular this year. Last October, when Ticketmaster released the opportunity for people to sign up for her tickets, they actually shut down Ticketmaster, and many people didn't end up getting their tickets. Business Insider wrote a story about a lady named Paige who would not be denied. She was going to get her tickets to see Taylor Swift. This is what it says. For hours, Paige sat in front of her computer, dust collecting as she waited in the queue for the most coveted show of the year, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. Did I say that right? Eras? Yeah, okay. Paige, 31, has been a Swiftie. That's what they call Taylor Swift fans, for 15 years. She taught herself guitar by learning songs from Swift's debut record. She's never seen Swift in concert and did everything she could to prepare herself for maximum presale luck. She bought merch ahead of the presale registration and streamed music videos to try and land a coveted spot in line. Paige did receive a presale code, but as Swifties across the country found out, the queue for tickets was a madhouse. With 2,000 plus people ahead of her and the line paused, Paige realized she was on her own. So after waiting upward of 3 hours, she began perusing StubHub for tickets that were already being resold. She saw prices ranging from $5,000 to over $30,000 per ticket. When she saw two floor seats priced under just $2,000 each, she jumped. With fees and tax, the total came to just over $5,500. $5,500 for two tickets to a concert. Paige really, really wanted to see Taylor Swift in concert. So have you ever wanted something so badly, you would have done just about anything to get it? Can you think about that for a moment? For me, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I am a fan of coffee. Anybody in here like some fans of coffee? And unfortunately, I like kind of those foo-foo espresso kinds of coffees, and me and Starbucks are pretty close right now. But it can be really expensive, right? Have you seen the prices recently? I mean, they just keep going up and up and up. And so I decided that to save money, I needed to get my own espresso maker. So I did a lot of research, had some questions with people, studied online, looked at the pros and cons. I even visited a few at some stores and just said hi to them, you know, looked around. But I ended up choosing the Lor Barista Espresso Machine. I think we have a photo of it. Oh. But I didn't want to pay full price for it, so I signed up on their website to get their newsletter, or their, you know, and then I got a discount code, and then I waited. I even waited for the Father's Day sale. And when that came in, I sent an email to my wife with a link. And true story. I love my Lore Barista espresso machine. So have you ever wanted something so bad you would have done just about anything to get it? Our associate pastor, Matt, over sitting over here, he loves golf. Let me tell you, I've met some people who love golf before, but Matt's kind of taken the cake recently. So loves golf, loves to play golf, loves to watch golf, but he's never been to a PGA like tournament golf event, and one is coming up in Chicago in August. And so I've never been to one, but they're not cheap, right? And it's not cheap to go to one. And so he decided he really wanted to go, so he started selling his plasma so it wouldn't affect his budget. Have you given enough yet? Almost. It's almost there. Matt is literally selling his blood to watch a golf tournament. But how about you? Have you ever wanted something so badly you'd do just about anything to get it? So take a second and tell your neighbor what you would sell blood for. Just tell him right now. Just look to the right or left. Tell him what you would do. I didn't hear anyone say Taylor Swift or golf or a Lore Barista. I didn't hear that at all. Hey, so the reality is no matter what you said, no matter what you want, I'm going to kind of bring this back to a spiritual discussion. There isn't anything in this world that's better than what God has for us. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." So Jesus knew that the treasures in heaven far outweighed anything that we could have here on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." God is preparing incredible things for us that we can't even conceive in our minds today. And then in the book of Revelation, John describes a vision of when heaven comes to earth. And he says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more tears. No more death, no more pain. Heaven will be incredible. It'll be so much better than anything that we have here on earth today." So hold that thought. We're continuing our summer message series titled Fully Committed. We're studying different Bible characters who are fully committed to a mission. They're fully committed to a people. They're fully committed to their faith. And our hope is that as we study them, that we will become more fully committed to God, more fully committed to our family, to our friends, to what God has for us. And last week, Esther gave a message titled, Fully Committed to Friendships. And if you missed it, I would encourage you to go back and watch that one online. It was about the story of Ruth, and it was really, really good. But today, we're going to read a story about a man who wanted to know what Jesus was all about. He wanted to know the way to heaven, and nothing was going to stop him. You can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. In this section of scripture, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Most likely, this is his last time passing through the city of Jericho. In just a few days, he would enter Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, and they would welcome him as a king, as the Messiah, and then just a week later, they would crucify him as a criminal. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? He rose again from the dead. But on his way, he has this encounter with a man named Zacchaeus. So we're going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So our message title today is "Fully Committed to Finding Christ." Zacchaeus wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, and he found him, and he received salvation. He was no longer lost, and he received heaven as his reward. So today we're going to take a look at how he found Christ and see how we can apply that to our lives. But first, let me pray. God, I thank you for the story of Zacchaeus, Lord. I thank you for the grace that you showed him, Jesus, in that moment. And Lord, I believe that he is with you today in heaven for all eternity, and that we one day will get a chance to meet him. But Lord, today I pray that you would teach us from this story, because there's some aspects of Zacchaeus that we need to have in our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so if you look on your handouts, you have a whole book to fill in today. So, because I knew you guys were on vacation this week, you needed something to stimulate the mind, so we have a lot of fill-ins, a lot of fill-ins. All right, so like Zacchaeus, we can be fully committed to finding Christ by rejecting our shortcomings, rejecting our shortcomings. Verse 3 says, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So Zacchaeus, I know there are a few short people here, but Zacchaeus was really short. Scholars believe that he was probably under 5 feet tall, and there was no way that he could see over the crowd to see Jesus. And he could have just accepted, "Well, I'm just too short. I won't see Jesus." But he didn't. He didn't let his physical shortcomings keep him from seeing Jesus. Now, as a pastor, I've heard a lot of people tell me about their shortcomings. They've told me why they really can't, you know, be with Jesus or follow Jesus, or that Jesus would never accept them because of things that they've done or family situations that they've grown up in. They'll say things like, "Well, you don't really know me, Pastor. You know, I'm addicted to this," or, "You don't know what I've done in my past," or, "You know, this is my third marriage and this one's not working out very well either." So they'll tell me their shortcomings, and the devil will convince them and use those as an excuse as to why they can't find Jesus. But here's the deal, you can fill this in. There's no stain in our lives that Jesus' blood cannot make clean. There's no stain in our lives that Jesus' blood cannot make clean. Our mistakes, our sins, our shortcomings can only keep us from Jesus if we let them. God does not expect us to come to him perfect, right? Otherwise, none of us would come to him, because none of us are perfect. No, when we come to him in our weaknesses, in our brokenness, in our shortcomings, then he makes us perfect. Hebrews 10:10 says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will purify us. He will make us clean. He will make us perfect. Salvation from our sins is found in Christ. We approach him just as we are, with our mistakes, our shortcomings, and they do not disqualify us. Zacchaeus didn't let his physical shortcomings keep him from Christ, and we shouldn't let our spiritual shortcomings keep us from finding Christ either. That's your first point. We can be fully committed to finding Christ by rejecting our shortcomings. By the way, some of you today, that was the point for you. I'm not going to tell you to tune out to the rest of the message, but for some people here today, I believe that that was your point. You just need to hear that. Let God speak to you on that. You don't have to raise your hands. I know there are a few people here, though. Thank you, God, for that. So we can be fully committed to finding Christ. Here's number two. By resisting the resistance. Resisting the resistance. So Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So not only was Zacchaeus short, but he was a hated tax collector. He was a traitor to the Jewish people, and the crowd was not going to make room for him. The crowd resisted Zacchaeus pushing through to be able to see Jesus. But even though he was short and they wouldn't let him through, Zacchaeus resisted the crowd, right? He resisted the crowd. He wasn't going to be denied. He ran ahead, he climbed a tree and over the crowd and was able to see Jesus. Zacchaeus didn't let the resistance from the crowd keep him from finding Jesus. So how about us? Here's a question. Do we put this kind of effort into finding Jesus? Or do we give up as soon as we meet any kind of resistance? Since 2020, so I've been a pastor for, how many years has it been? A lot of years. So like 16 years, something like that. But since 2020, I have seen the devil up his game against Christians. There's a lot of resistance that is being thrown against those who are pursuing Christ. And not just those who are followers of Christ, especially those who are close to finding Christ, right? They're near to Christ. When someone here at Lighthouse turns their heart back to Jesus, I can almost count on the spiritual attacks that are going to come their way in the weeks following. Unexpected sicknesses, arguments between spouses, losing their jobs, conflicts because of kids' sports, car troubles. I mean, you name it, I've seen it. And it's interesting because all of those troubles are thrown at the people who are trying to pursue Jesus. Side note, if you're not experiencing any resistance, you're not a threat. Maybe you're not a threat to the enemy. We should be experiencing some resistance from the enemy. We have to be willing to push through it to find Christ. I was reminded of a time when I went to Canada. I like to take these guys to this wilderness trip, either the Boundary Waters or up in the Algonquin in Canada. And the guys will carry their backpack and then they'll carry a canoe. So they'll have about 80 to 100 pounds on their shoulders, and then we'll hike from one lake to the other, up and down these big hills and rocks and all this kind of thing. And I remember this one time, a guy went and he was carrying his backpack and he was carrying the canoe, and I was following him, and we got to these rocks and he slipped and he fell down onto the ground. I mean, he fell pretty hard too. And so I put down, I was carrying the paddles, I put those down, I came over to him to help him, you know, like lift up the canoe, and he says, "No, leave me alone." And I backed off, and he says, "I'm going to carry this. I'm not going to put it down." Because there's this push where we don't want to put down the canoe. We want to carry it the whole way, whether it's, you know, 100 yards or, you know, 2,000 yards. We want to carry it the whole way. And so he stood up. And he had this grit in him, and he stood up, and he pushed through, and he finished the portage without putting the canoe down. We need that kind of determination now more than ever. Now, some of us have been Christians most of our life. And I will just tell you, the kinds of spiritual opposition that we are seeing now is so much greater than what has gotten us through in the past. So we need to push through harder to keep our faith. We need to pray harder for our friends and family. We need to push through the opposition to share our faith to people around us more now than ever. What used to be easy is not so easy anymore. So we need to have that kind of determination that Zacchaeus had. So here's a question for us to consider. How hard am I pushing against the enemies of my soul? The world, our flesh, the devil, those are the enemies of our soul. How hard are we pushing against them to find Jesus, to be near Jesus? So don't give up, no matter how hard it gets. Stay in the fight. And if you need help, ask for help. So we need to resist the resistance. Resist the resistance, because it's out there. Zacchaeus did. Number three, I love this point, because Zacchaeus was fully committed, but he gave up his gods. And we can also be fully committed by giving up our gods. And I had there in quotes, lowercase g. So let's talk about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus found Jesus, and immediately he stood up and he said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, we may be thinking, oh, he's a wealthy man and he's just being generous. No, let's talk about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, not just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. Unfortunately, the way that he gained his wealth was by being a traitor to his people. The Romans would come in and they would actually take bids and say, who will essentially betray and spy on and talk about all of these people that we've held captive and collect all that money from them and give us that money, and you can keep whatever extra you collect for your pay. And so they were cheats, and they were liars, and they were extortionists, and they were hated by their people. They weren't welcome in the synagogue. They weren't welcome at their neighbor's cookout. Their family disowned them and said, "You are dead to me." That it cost them so much to be a tax collector, but why did they do it? For one reason: for the money. For the money. Money was a god to Zacchaeus. So that's why it was so important for him to declare right up front, "I give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I've done anything financially wrong, I will pay back four times the amount." He was making it extremely clear right up front: I found Jesus. And now what was my God is no longer my God. I'm giving it all away. Now, money is a god in America today, to be sure. Our country was founded on religious freedom. God blessed our country. We became the greatest country in the world. We prospered. And then we took the blessing and made it a god. What people won't do for money these days, right? Fame and fortune. So money can certainly be a god. It's a temptation in the United States today. But more than money, I mean, we have sports that can be a god to us. If we start to love sports more than God, it's a problem. We can love TV and movies, and you're like, no, I just watch that in my free time. But if we don't make time with God, but we make time to binge watch our favorite TV shows, what do you think God's going to say about that? And we can even make work a god to us, willing to sacrifice anything to make a paycheck. Friends, family, our faith, even our health. People are sacrificing their health to make a paycheck. Well, God, our God is a jealous God. He said in the first commandment, in the Ten Commandments, he said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." God is a jealous God. For Zacchaeus, it was money. And he laid it down. He laid it down. A god for us today is anything that competes with our love for Jesus. Anything. We can make our children a god. Hey, get this. We can make ministry a god. We can take the good things in this world and then elevate it above our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So it's anything that competes with our love for Jesus. So here's a question for us to consider. What in my life is competing with God? Let's be honest. Just write it down. What in my life is competing with my affection for God? What am I loving just a little too much? And maybe I need to give it up. Maybe I need to fast it for a season. But if we're going to find Christ, we need to be willing to give up our gods. Last two points I'm going to go over fairly quickly, but I think they're super important. The first one is this, is respond immediately. Zacchaeus responded immediately. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once. Zacchaeus didn't hesitate. If we are going to be fully committed to finding Christ, we have to be willing to respond immediately to when he calls to us. Some of us have been like, "Lord, I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear from you. Why am I not hearing from you?" And the reality is that you have heard from him. You just don't like what you're hearing. And so you're wanting to hear something else. It's not like changing the channel, right? If we don't like what we're seeing, we can change the channel. There is one connection to Jesus, and he's going to say the same thing to us again and again and again until we get it. Until we get it. Jesus will never take us past our last act of disobedience. Like there might be some of us here today who are like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to, sacrifice this. I don't want to do this. But God, I want to be with you. So what is that? How can I be with you and not have to do what you tell me? It doesn't work that way. He will come back again and again and again to that last time you said no. And he will wait until you say yes. Zacchaeus found salvation. What would have happened if he had said to Jesus, no, it took me a long time to get up in this tree. I kind of like the view. I'm tired, so I'm just going to stay here a little while. But I still want to be in relationship with you, but I'm going to stay where I'm at. It wouldn't have worked. And Zacchaeus knew it, and he said, I'm getting down now. Out of my way. I bet you he jumped out of that tree. That would have been an exciting thing to see. So we need to respond immediately to what God is saying to us. And this last point, I invite the worship team. You guys can come up here while I do this last point. So like Zacchaeus, we can be fully committed to finding Christ by welcoming him in. Welcoming him in. So Zacchaeus came down immediately. Jesus said, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home. Into his home. Honestly, there's nothing more intimate in a friendship or a relationship than if you invite someone to your house, right? I mean, and we have a culture today where we don't do that. I'll meet you at Starbucks. I'll meet you at Panera. I'll meet you, you know, out and about, right? We'll go to a park, whatever. Because if you invite someone to your house, they see how you live. They see if you clean your house or not, what you have on the walls, what you have in your fridge. If you have the dirty dishes in the sink, they see it. They know you. They know you. And so if we want to find Jesus, if we want to really know Jesus, we need to be willing to let him really know us. And that means inviting him in to every place in our lives, that nothing is held back. And the thing was, Jesus said, salvation has come to this man today. He found Jesus, and Jesus found him, and it changed him for all eternity. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus wants a relationship with us. Every one of us.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthouseofinner.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.